Good morning. Whether you're joining us online or here in person, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I'm Reverend Chris Jimerson, co-lead minister at the church, wearing my bright yellow Side with Love stole. My pronouns are he, him. It is a joy to be with you today. I especially want to welcome you if you're new to the church, if you're joining us remotely, and if you can, please say hello in the comments and let us know from where you're watching the service. If you're here in person, please join us for the social hour after the worship service. Either way, we invite you to go to austinuu.org, click on worship, and then the link to our online visitor form. If you would fill that out, we would love to get to know you just a little bit better. Here we welcome everyone, every beginning and path, every beautiful expression of human flowering, all pronouns, all the ways and ones we love, all abilities and disabilities. Each and every one of you, you are welcome here. You belong here. We come from a long tradition of seeing a spark of the divine in every person. And it's in that tradition that I invite you to greet the holy among us this morning, either by turning to those around you here in the sanctuary or in the comments online.
Good morning again. I'm Carrie Holly Hurt, your lay leader today. I'm a middle-aged white woman with blonde hair and glasses and a white dress with pink and blue shapes. Join me as we light our chalice. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light upon shiftings of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation. Our call to worship is a quote by Maya Angelou. We delight in the beauty of a butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty.
One of the things that binds First UU together as a religious community is that the congregation has a common religious purpose. For First UU Church of Austin, that common purpose is our mission. The congregation wrote it together, we put it on our wall here in the sanctuary, and every Sunday church participants say it together so that we might more readily carry it in our hearts throughout the week. Let's say it together now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
Our reading today is from No Ordinary Time, The Rise of Spiritual Intelligence and Evolutionary Creativity by Jan Phillips. We are attendants at the wake of the old way, and each of us, through our actions, our thoughts, our work, our relationships, is midwifing a new world into existence. This is our destiny, our meaning, our purpose. And when we come to our day with this awareness, when we are fully awakened to the tremendous privilege, when we sense the oak and the acorn of our being, then we will have the energy to move mountains and shift tides. It is an illusion that we are powerless. It is an illusion that someone else is responsible. It is an illusion that we cannot transcend these dualities and difficulties that are making a mockery out of our democracy. We are the people. This is our world.
Let us now enter into a time of centering ourselves together, of breathing together. And as we breathe together, we sense one another's loving presence. Breathing in, Breathing out, we follow our breath to a deeper place inside, a place of greater wisdom, a place where transformation is possible. That place where a spark of the divine resides within each of us. Breathing together, we enter into a time of sacred silence together, remembering that we also hold sacred human sounds, including those of small children. Breathing in, breathing out, let us enter into that time of sacred silence together. I invite you now to light candles, if you are so moved, candles representing sorrow, joy, hope, remembrance, resilience, whatever is on your heart at this time. As we light candles, I invite you to keep in your mind and heart Joan Forbes and the family and loved ones of Bill Forbes, former church board president and much beloved church member who recently died of cancer. Please also hold Judy Parkin and the family and loved ones of Ed Parkin, whose memorial service was here at the church yesterday. We enter now into a time of music and meditative candle lighting, holding the meditative quiet when our music comes to an end. They were twins, sisters, born together, formed together so much the same and yet not. Perhaps the same coin, but different sides. And then that day came in their late teens when the outsiders invaded their village. The outsiders burned the houses and buildings. They pillaged the supplies of grain and the other foods. They wrought death and destruction among far too many of their friends and loved ones, including massacring their father. The sisters hid together until the outsiders left as suddenly as they had come, taking with them all that they had looted, leaving the twin sisters and their remaining family and townsfolk in the smoke and ruins. The stench of tribalism and hatred thickening the air and burning their lungs. And she went into hiding. She became consumed with hate. She joined the group that would leave the village to inflict hatred upon hatred. She was among those who would hunt the outsiders, doing to them what they had done. But she could not stop there. They moved from town to town among the outsiders' fellow clans, bringing to them the same fate her village had suffered. And eventually, she led them into skirmishes that transformed into war until both sides suffered injury upon injury, death upon death, including eventually her own. But she turned to the love of her people. She turned to the work of rebuilding their village and healing their wounds. They went about the work of forgiveness and working for peace. And eventually, they helped negotiate the end of war and brought reconciliation and reparations. She joined with those who created a new vision of peace and flourishing, where there were no outsiders anymore. And so in this wisdom tale, one twin emerges from a transformative moment as a butterfly that would bring more beauty to the world, pollinating more and more love and justice. And sadly, another sister becomes a wasp, losing more and more of herself with each hate and harm-filled sting until nothing is left. Transformative moments are like this. They hold the possibility of both transformation that can be harmful and destructive, as well as the creative potential for beauty and flowering. And so today we will explore how we can react to such moments more like butterfly sisters, a recently renowned subset of which have been referred to as childless cat ladies. I think many of us are feeling like we're in one of those transformative moments in our country's history. Now, we have a big election going on, and that's a huge part of this moment. And as many of you know, as a tax-exempt nonprofit, the church cannot endorse any individual candidate, nor can we endorse a political party. We can, though, talk about issues related to our religious values. And our values around the separation of church and state mean we work against the state mandating, endorsing, or sponsoring any particular religion, including even our own. And we can speak about how politics And eventually, the public policy that will come out of it either contravene our religious values or uphold them. Values such as those of our Unitarian Universalist faith. Love, held at our very center. Justice, generosity, pluralism, interdependence, equity. The values of this church, transcendence, community, compassion, courage. Now, you may have noticed on the slides that both our UU faith and our church have one more value we uphold: transformation. Our UU faith defines transformation like this: we adapt to the changing world. We covenant to collectively transform and grow spiritually and ethically. Openness to change is fundamental to our Unitarian and Universalist heritages, never complete and never perfect. Here at the church, we simply say that transformation means to pursue the growth that changes our lives and heals our world. Personally, I like how our church defines transformation. It's more concise, and I think it fits this transformative moment in which we find ourselves. Because, again, as our story earlier shows us, transformative times can lead to change that is healing, or they can lead to change that is harmful. And this transformative moment contains an element that looms even larger than the immediate election and that holds the potential to deeply violate our religious values. A white, fundamentalist, Christian nationalist movement is alive and active in our country, and it has found political and public policy expression in a 922-page far-right conservative manifesto called Project 2025, created by the ultra-conservative lobbying and influence group, the Heritage Foundation. Project 2025, in my opinion, would run counter to all that we value, decimate our democratic institutions, and cause great harm to many while greatly privileging far, far fewer. Fewer who just happen to be mostly white, hetero, cis, male, theocratic fundamentalists. Now, as a minister, I cannot, as part of an official church function, endorse a particular candidate either. I can, however, express what I think of their stance on particular issues, as long as I do so as only me, not on behalf of the church as a whole. So, let me just say, not speaking on behalf of the church, he who was always white until a number of years ago when he happened to discover spray tanning, and his running mate, J.D. Vancey Pants, have tried to distance themselves from Project 2025 and claim to know very little about it. Yet, J.D. Vance wrote the foreword for a book about it by the primary author of Project 2025, and more than 30 Trump associates helped create the document. Trump has said of the Heritage Foundation, and I quote, "They're going to lay the groundwork and detail plans for exactly what our movement will look like." So I don't know. Speaking only as me, maybe they're not being entirely honest about this issue. That's the pastoral way of saying they're lying. Another more recent lie, as Project 2025 proves highly unpopular the more people find out about it, is that they try to say that it has been put back on a shelf, as if they can't take it right back off the shelf depending on how the election goes. And church member David Overton recently put together an excellent comparison of the party platforms in Texas. The legislation and policy proposals of one of those party platforms are derivative from, and if anything, more extreme than Project 2025 itself. So what exactly is this Project 2025? Well, basically, it's a blueprint for forming a theocratic, authoritarian administration. As I said, it's over 900 pages, so it's impossible to cover all of their plans for every federal department this morning. Here, though, are just a few examples of what a presidential administration following Project 2025 would do, much of it within their first 180 days. Eliminate job protections for and fire experienced, qualified civil servants and replace them with partisans whose only job qualification would be loyalty to the conservative president. They have already established a database of people who would serve in these positions. Gut the Environmental Protection Agency. End climate research. Eliminate the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which includes the National Weather Service. Reverse all LGBTQ plus federal protections and end all transgender health care under Medicare and Medicaid. Expel trans folks from the military as well as anyone requiring treatment for HIV. Eliminate the Department of Education. Revoke the Immigration and Customs Enforcement policy that prevents raids on churches. Convert the Department of Health and Human Services to the Department of Life, tying benefits to traditional family structures. Eliminating abortion as health care. Utilizing the federal bureaucracy to effectively prevent access to abortion nationwide, as well as to severely limit access to contraceptives. Restructure the Justice Department and the FBI to serve the aims of the presidential administration and end enforcement of voting rights. Well, these are just a few. It goes on and on and on and on. God, guns, and gays is back with a vengeance. And if anyone claims it is an overreaction to call Project 2025 a detailed plan for establishing a permanent white nationalist Christo-fascist state, listen to what Trump said just recently to a group of fundamentalists. Christians, get out and vote. Just this time, you won't have to do it anymore. You know what? 4 more years, it'll be fixed. It'll be fine. You won't have to vote anymore. Kevin Roberts, the president of the Heritage Foundation, was even more direct, saying, quote, "We are in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it." To paraphrase Maya Angelou, when people tell you who they are, believe them the first time. Interdependence. Equity. generosity, pluralism, community, courage, compassion, justice, transcendence, love. The kind of transformation we seek in our lives and our world, these are under siege by the wasp stings of a white supremacist nationalism, theocratic fascism, institutionalized patriarchy that has arisen during this chrysalis time. And so we must also raise up our religious values in the public square. We must become the pollinators of love and justice in our world, the butterfly siblings that dismantle all Project 2025 seeks to fortify and build in its place the beloved community. So, how do we do that? I don't have all the answers. But right now, as Carrie mentioned in the announcements, we UU the vote. Because when people vote, our religious values tend to become more actualized in public policy. So after the service today, join us in sending postcards encouraging folks to vote. Consider serving as a poll worker during the election. Right now, we educate ourselves about Project 2025, and we inform and educate others about it because polling shows that even fairly conservative folks oppose it when they find out what is in it. And right now, if you so choose, you can work for those who you believe are most likely to pursue laws and policies consistent with your values. Values centered in love. Perhaps most importantly, though, we must know that this transformative time will continue beyond this particular election. It will require more of us. Project 2025 will just try to become Project 2029 and so on. So we take the long view. And one of the ways that we do that is by living our values in our daily lives. We build communities of love, joy, and justice, such as this religious community. As our reading earlier said, we are attendants at the wake of the old way, and each of us, through our actions, our thoughts, our work, and relationships, is midwifing a new world into existence. And so in our lives, our actions, small and large, our communities, our ways of being, we breathe our values into the world. We build a new way. We join with others bound for a new land of freedom and justice, singing, "Come and go with me," along the way. Author and activist Adrian Marie Brown writes, "How we are at the small scale is how we are at the large scale. The patterns of the universe repeat at scale. There is a structural echo that suggests two things. One, that there are shapes and patterns fundamental to our universe. And two, that what we practice at a small scale can reverberate to the largest scale." Remember, my beloveds, we do what we can. How we live matters. How we live makes a difference. How we respond in transformative moments has the potential to build the world about which we dream. This is our project.
And now we extinguish our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
For our benediction today, I leave you with words from Octavia Butler. All that you touch, you change. All that you change changes you. The only lasting truth is change. God is change. May the change we bring build the beloved community. May the congregation say, Amen,
Amen.
And blessed be.
Blessed be.
Go in peace.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.